Well, good evening. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Amen. Well, we're going to start off with some singing tonight, all right? And we're going to start off with the first hymn. Let's all stand as we sing, Jesus Saves.
We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Wafted on.
Believe that tonight. Amen. Now we're going to sing a hymn, Send the Light. Somebody turn on the TV up there. That would be, I just want to make sure I know what's going on back behind me.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call to. Send the light, send the light. And a golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Let us pray that grace may everywhere abound. Send the light, send the light. And a Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown above. let it shine forevermore.
Amen, amen. Acts 8:4 says, those who have been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Amen. I love to tell the story. Maybe you had an opportunity today or this week to tell someone about the wonderful story about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's sing this wonderful hymn.
Good evening, everyone. It's a beautiful day today, wasn't it? Beautiful day. Hope you were able to enjoy at least some part of it. I do have some good news this evening. As we mentioned some of the prayer requests yesterday, we prayed for Monroe as he was in the hospital, had been in the hospital since Friday. Well, praise the Lord, he is at home now and doing well. Jim Freeman's surgery that he had on his hand went very well today, or Monday. He's doing well at home. But we also need to pray for Wanda Heineman, Stacy Hobby's mom, who's she has kidney cancer, but unfortunately it has grown more than what the doctors thought it would. So we need to pray for Wanda and the doctors that they would know how to treat that. But just remember Wanda Heineman in our prayers. But my soul, it has been so good this week. Sunday and last night was tremendous. Brother Tom Gillum preached for us just what we needed, what I needed to hear. And thankful for that powerful message. Looking forward to tonight's message. Centered around the Bible characters around a tree. I've never heard of a series like this, but I'm anticipating tonight this evening's message. I want to remind you that each night of our conference that we're taking up a very special love offering for he and Miss Beth, and there are offering boxes there in the back. I encourage you to give as the Lord leads. I want to read to you from Psalm 95. Psalm 95 and verse number 1. It says, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. And let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands form the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Let's go unto our Father and pray and ask the Lord's blessings on this evening service. Our Father, Lord, we are so thankful for tonight. We're thankful, Lord, for those who have gathered here. We lift up, Lord, those who are not feeling well tonight and want to be but cannot be. But Lord, we're thankful that most of all that you are here with us. We pray that you meet with us in a very special way. And Father, we are thankful tonight for the reminder of this psalm. This psalm moves us from the joy of salvation, the love of thanksgiving and the singing of praise that we've just finished. And Lord, we pray this evening that we would never be like those with Moses in the wilderness who griped and complained even after they saw your glory and power. God, help us not to forget what you've done for us. Help us not to have a complaining spirit in these days. And Lord, we thank you for your precious grace in saving us, for giving us that reminder last night and that powerful message. Oh Lord, we thank you for that. We ask you, Lord, to touch Brother Tom tonight. Hide him behind the cross. Lord, help us to listen intently. Help us to receive the word with meekness, that we might be different when we leave here because of the transforming work of your word, Father. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Seems like all I could do was the struggle. Haunted by ghosts that lived in my past. Bound up in shackles of all my same, and I hope that it will carry me home. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. Set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away. praise God redeemed. Have a Bible tonight, you'll find our text in the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings. I'm glad I'm redeemed tonight, aren't you? Well, at least preacher and I are. That's a blessing. Might ought to try that again. I'm glad I'm redeemed tonight. Oh, grace, a bunch of the rest of you got here. That's a blessing. Amen. Appreciate the good music tonight and appreciate the ladies with the good supper and kindness there tonight. Well, we started last night looking at various and sundry people in the Bible who had a relationship with a tree, and preaching on the subject of being rightly related to the tree. Last evening we looked at Adam and Eve. They found themselves behind a tree. It was the tree of the fallen. Tonight I turn our attention to 1 Kings chapter number 19. Preacher, I didn't realize until I got here that you were doing a study in Elijah. I already had this assignment, so I stuck with it. But I noticed you hadn't got here yet, so if I mess up, you can straighten it out after I'm gone. But I'd like to look tonight at the fact that Elijah found himself under a tree. It was the tree of the fainting. The tree of the fainting. It says in chapter 19 and verse 1, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. We'll pray, what has he done? She killed 450 of her prophets, single-handedly, I'd say. And with all how he had slain all the prophets with a sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into a wilderness and came and sat down. What? Elijah, what in the devil are you doing? Under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my fathers. Tree of the fainting. Fainting is often very rampant in religious circles. Fall by the wayside. Give up. Lose heart. Fainting is often an inside job long before it's an outward reality. I notice as I travel a little bit again, there's a fainting in the church attendance. I noticed that here. A lot more people the last 2 years. I guess the old virus has gotten some of them. Hey, you that are watching by live stream, keep on missing church. After a while, you won't miss it. You're listening to me tonight. What's the worst thing to happen to you? Die and go to heaven? That sounds like a real tragedy. Fainting. Unresolved feelings of being offended. Unchecked
depression. Undealt with feelings of bitterness. Finding my happiness in my happenings can lead to fainting. Discontentment over present circumstances. Any of you enjoying wearing your mask? You getting discontent with it? It's dangerous. All of these, if not dealt with, are very dangerous. They can lead to fainting. Proverbs says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Paul said, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap, if ye what? Faint not. You say, preacher, we're old razorbacks around here. That fainting junk's for weak people. That'll not happen to us. Hey, it did Elijah. He has fainted. I notice from our text tonight as we look at what was involved in Elijah's fainting. Maybe it would help us in the day when fainting becomes a reality to us. I notice in the text that fear grips the heart. Fear grips the heart. I notice for Elijah, I've seen it in my own life, there is the seeing of fear. The Bible says in verse number 2 that Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah. He's going to read the message now about this time tomorrow. I'm going to hack you up like you did my prophets of Baal. But Elijah didn't hear the message. The Bible says in verse 3, and when he saw that, whoa, he didn't hear it. He's seeing himself hacked up. Wow. You know, we need desperately in this hour spiritual eyes of discernment. Because things are not always the way they look or seem. Seeing things through the eyes of the temporal, not the eyes of the eternal, will cause you and I to faint. I've had enough of this stuff. Matter of fact, this may be way over your head. Do you know that everybody in this building tonight has the potential of getting your feelings hurt before you leave the building tonight and never coming back over here again?
I tell you, they were ugly to me. I say, go back over there no more.
Fainting. Fear grips the heart. Boy, Elijah's the one that prayed and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. He prayed again and it rained. He filled meal barrels for widows. Ravens brought him bread and meat. He raised the dead, called fire down from heaven, killed 450 prophets of Baal single-handedly. But a messenger from a wicked woman has put him to flight. I tell you, something like that scared a fire out of him. Pray tell what God would have to do, not much, to scare the fire out of us. Of course, Don't make light of the fears of others. Job said, the things I fear the most have come upon me. I guess the greatest fear that we have is the fear of losing control. We love to control everything. Fear grips the heart, seeing fear. But I see in our text tonight the spirit of fear. Do not be mistaken tonight. Fear is one of the greatest instruments that God has got over your head to get you to do what He wants you to do. Do not ever forget that. I am a very fearful person myself. Matter of fact, I have on numerous occasions had my shadow to scare me. Leviticus 28 says, and upon them that are left alive, I will send a fainting into their heart, and the sound of a shaking of a leaf shall cause them to flee when there are none that are chasing them. As I told you, I am a very fearful person. My grandmother lived with us all my growing up days. And when I got married, my grandmother moved in with us. And she would swap out times between me and my brother and my mom and dad. And my grandmother had a son-in-law commit suicide. She had a 16-year-old daughter get carbolic acid thrown in her face one night when she got off the bus, died 2 days later. And my grandmother never went to bed until she had checked every door and every window and every closet in the house at least twice. And she had looked under the bed on her knees under every bed twice in the house. And once I got grown and she moved in with me, she passed on that gift to me. And so I'm a very fearful person. I've got two power poles, Georgia power poles, burning at either end of my house tonight. Birds won't even roost in my yard. They think it's daytime there all the time. There's a 100-watt bulb burning in the middle of the house right now. It burns all the time. You say, you're not wondering what you got a 100-watt bulb burning a house for. Somebody breaks in, I want them to see what they're doing. That's why she travels with me. If I was to carry a gun, I'd keep the gun, put her between me and the door, because she ain't scared of nothing. Some time ago, as my daddy used to say, God broke me from sucking eggs, this fearful thing. I went out to Missouri to hold a meeting, and right off the bat, I was uneasy because they flew me and they didn't fly her. So that means I'm going by myself. That ain't good. And when I got out there to Missouri, the big church, but they had me out in the country. Probably down a 3 or 4 mile road was the driveway. Asphalt, rock, then grass. And I was in the middle of a 750-acre cattle farm in a house that had been restored that was built in 1802. And I didn't realize that God could put every fear I had in one house. I hate places that have got more than one door for me to watch. This house had more doors than I could imagine. I looked at my cell phone, and it had the most scariest words on it that I had ever seen in my life. No service. And there was no landline. I could finally get a text to her. I told her, and it wasn't no lie, if I went out and stood on the edge of the front porch and held it up in the air, it would finally whoop, go. Who in the world would build a house where all of the windows are on the floor? All you got to do is open them and step in. He took me over there, and I looked at that. I know he could tell that I was petrified. And you know, I pulled up my big boy britches. Yeah, worry about it. I'll be all right. I'll be okay. I'll be okay. And after he left, I realized that God had saved the best for last. I went in the kitchen to get me a drink of water, and I spied out of the corner of my eye, beside the refrigerator, not one mousetrap, not two mousetraps, not three mousetraps, but four mousetraps. You got four mousetraps, you have mice problem. And I get on table when mouse come by. I hate them. I scared the death of them. Even when I get them in the trap, if they did, I beat them some more. Spirit of fear. Spurgeon said, when some have no troubles, they have a factory in their mind that creates make-believe trouble. Those troubles are like homemade clothes. They never do have a proper fit, and they last forever. Fear. Of course, I read some time ago, 95% of the things we worry and feel never come to pass. Boy, you sure have wasted a lot of time today, hadn't you? Fear. But sitting in that house, those five nights, God helped me with my fears more than anything in the world. One of them, I've often, when if I got a grandkid wake me up in the middle of the night and tells me here I'm scared, I ain't gonna tell him, well, suck it up, go get back in your bed. I'm telling him that. I know how he feels. I said, we just make you a pallet here beside the bed. You get up here in the bed. No, don't tell him that. But I've often told him, what time I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord. That little word trust means to cast all of your weight upon another. Would you believe, in the middle of a cattle farm in Missouri, there ain't even no street lights out there. Every time I got scared, I would cast all of my weight upon the Lord. Would you believe this? It worked! It worked! It worked! It worked. Something else I came across. Paul said in Romans, he's not given us the spirit of fear, but he's given us the spirit of adoption. How many of you tonight? Not being nosy. This is yes. This is no. This is I don't know. How many of you believe tonight, if you're saved, God has adopted you? This would be a good answer. If you believe God has adopted you, that means that you believe he picked you. I have some friends in Kentucky. They have adopted two kids. They went down to the home and said, I want that one and I want that one. I have no earthly idea why God would pick me. Only time I ever got picked, I would hear them say, we'll take Gillum if you give us first bat. But to know that he picked me and know that I couldn't bat at all. He said, he has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us a spirit of adoption whereby we can call Abba, Father. Right out there in that cattle farm field, not only did I cast myself, but when I sensed a spirit of fear coming on me, I could cry out, Abba. That little word is Papa, Dada, help me. And it worked. It worked. Oh, when you sense discontentment coming on, when you sense depression coming on, when you sense unresolved bitterness coming on, Papa, cast yourself helplessly upon him. I assure you tonight, it will work. Fear grips the heart. But I notice in our text, in the life of Elijah, not only did fear grip the heart, but fainting gaps the heart. Unresolved fainting tonight, pity parties, discouraged, discontentment with life's circumstances, puts a distance between you and God. You can't draw nigh to God and be discontent and complaining at the same time. Distance, basing your happiness on happenings tonight, you'll never be happy. We must base our happiness on the joy of the Lord. For Elijah, I notice that fainting gaps of heart involved a downward gap. The Bible says in our text, verse 3, and when he saw that he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba. He is in Jezreel, where Jezebel is. He's going to go to Beersheba. This is awful deep. I don't know if you can get this or not. This is a southward path. It is so deep theological. It is a downward path. Be careful tonight. Be careful, be careful, be careful tonight. It is extremely dangerous to get down spiritually. Abraham went down to Egypt and he got us Hagar, and we've never gotten over it. Jonah went down to Tarshish and caught a whale Uber ride back. Naomi went down to Moab. It's a southward movement, and she lost everything she had. Joseph went down to Egypt under the divine ordaining will of God, and he hit the mother lode while he was down there. Better make sure if you're going down that God's ordained it. I thought it was interesting, this downward gap. The Bible says in verse number 4, but he himself went a day's journey. Here's an interesting word here. Into the wilderness. Can I make a biblical reference tonight? God does not know the way into the wilderness. He only knows the way through the wilderness. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter number 4, He was led of Satan into the wilderness to be tempted there 40 days and 40 nights. He went into the wilderness on my behalf so I never have to go into it. I can always go through it. If you're in a wilderness tonight, God ain't helping you. He only knows the way through it. Of course, a lot of us like to get in a wilderness. Gives us something to whine and complain about. See if you're going through it tonight. You can pray, here it comes, and glory to God, there it goes. If you're going through it. You ever given any thought as to why they taught you that little song in Sunday school? My Lord knows the way. What? 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 Through the wilderness. What in the world I got to do? All I got to do, follow. Follow. For Elijah, it was a downward gap. I notice in the text, it was a depressing gap. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and What? Sat down. Oh, not going through it. He's just in it. It's dangerous tonight to stop your forward progress when you're feeling discontent, depressed, unchecked feelings about your circumstances. Throwing in the towel. No discharge from God's army. He said he sat down under a juniper tree. You'd almost think God wrote the Bible under and juniper. The little word juniper means to bind with present circumstances. Some time ago, I was in a church. I asked an old man, I said, how you doing? He said, well, under the circumstances, I'm doing all right. I didn't have the heart. I wanted to ask him, I said, what you under there for? Did you know you don't have to get under there unless you want to? It's a choice of your will tonight. You want to get under. You're listening to me tonight. He's gotten under it. Bind up with present circumstances. Down, depressed, discontent. Dangerous if not unchecked and unchallenged. He tells God here in verse number 4. It is enough. Let me die. Wow. He is requesting suicide by God. He's asking God to kill him. Pity party. Thumb-sucking occasion. We've all had them. It's dangerous if you stay there. Some have said, I've read after them, some said he really didn't want to die. Oh, no, I don't believe he wanted to die. He could have stayed up there at Jezreel. She'd have took care of that for him. If he really thought, Lord, this is enough. I've had this. But you know, sometimes discontentment and fainting, it is the road that often leads to suicide. And I don't know if that's been a scab in your life, and I certainly am not one to want to scrape it off, but it's certainly something we need to remind ourselves of tonight. Downward moves, being in a wilderness and not through it, can lead to suicide. Arthur Pink's book on the life of David in dealing with Saul's suicide. He said there was but not 9 suicides in the Bible. And he said they were all done by people who were rebellious, telling God, I'm going to have it my way. Arthur Pink made this statement in that book about suicide. He said someone asked him if you could commit suicide and still go to heaven. I love Pink's answer. He said, I don't know, the Bible doesn't say. I don't know, the Bible don't say. But then Pink said this. He says, I do know that it is a fearful thing to go out into eternity uninvited. He didn't get an invitation. To stand before the tribunal judgment seat of God with the last sin on your hand, the sin of rebellion, telling God, I'm going to have it my way. Be careful tonight. You feel like you're getting down tonight. You're getting discouraged. You're getting depressed. You better check it tonight. You better check it. It's a dangerous road to go down. God does not know the way into the wilderness. All he knows is the way through the wilderness. I notice in our text, not only does fear grip the heart, fainting gaps the heart, but feelings guile the heart. Living on one's feelings and not living on what you know to be true is dangerous. For Elijah, it led to self-deception. He said in verse 10, and he says, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. The children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with a sword, and I only am left. And they seek my life to take it. Self-deception. I guess Elijah thought that God was hard of hearing, so he run it by him again in verse 14. And he says, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with a sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it. Self-deception. Thinking, any of you here living in a house where you think you're the only one doing anything? It's dangerous. Are you listening to me tonight?
I know you don't want to do nothing around here but me.
There he is.
The only one standing.
Self-deception. But I notice there's a sovereign declaration. Chapter number 19, verse 18, God speaks back to him. He says, yet have I left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. It's almost like he has sent him a little private PS, hashtag. None of them are under a juniper tree. Want me to kill them. You're listening to me tonight. Feelings. Guile the heart. You can live on your feelings if you want to.
I tell you, this is the way I feel. This is the way I think.
It's dangerous. You better live on what you know to be true. I close tonight with, not only does under the tree of the fainting, fear grips, fainting gaps, feelings guile, but food grows the heart. He is awakened in chapter 19 in verse 5. The Bible says by an angel. I feel assured myself it is the angel of the Lord. It says so in verse 7. A Christophany, if you would. A personal, public, visible appearance of Jesus Christ comes and touches Elijah wakes him up. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals in verse 6. Picture of the crucified Christ. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. If you get down, run to Calvary, cling to Calvary. See what our sin cost the Savior. And the Bible says a cruse of water at his head. Water in the Bible is a picture of the Word of God. Verse number 8, together they are the milk and the meat of the Word. James said, draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Cast all your care upon the Lord, for he careth for you. Why would he want Elijah to eat? Picture of Calvary's cross. Drink water. Picture of the Word of God. See a couple of reasons in the text. One, a great journey. Verse 7, and the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. Rise and eat. You remember up in our text earlier, he had told the Lord it was enough. You remember that little phrase? It is almost exactly the same Hebrew phrase as the journey is great. He said, Elijah, you know you told me that you had had enough. You was at your wit's end. He said, you ain't seen A yet. You think this pandemic is bad? God just getting warm. He ain't even lifted a hand yet. He just had some little old Chinaman in Wuhan get a little nervous with a Petri dish. Pray tell, what would he get done if he was really wanting to do something? Are you listening to me tonight? The journey's great. More than you can handle. Well, what am I to do? He said, arise and eat spiritually. The only thing you'll take into the dark is what you learned in the light. Proverbs says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. I tell you, while things are not going real bad, you ought to be building yourself up, clinging to Calvary, getting in the Word. I heard a little story. I know you probably heard it. It's out in Texas during the 1800s, roads were so bad, rutted out. Little old boy sitting under a tree shooting marbles. Old man pulled up on a wagon. He said, sonny, is the roads this rough out here all the time? Yep. Kept shooting marbles. He said, do they ever get any better? Little boy stopped shooting marbles and stood up. He said, yes, sir. He said, they're rough all the way to town. He said, but when you get on the other side of the graveyard, he said, they got it paved all the way in. I tell you, you can look for as long as you stay on this earth, this road's going to be bumpy. But I hear tell on the other side of the graveyard, they got it paved not with asphalt, they paving with gold over there. I love the hound out of that, don't you? We ought to stop right there and shout, and some of you ain't never even said amen. Great journey. Arise and eat. But I see food grows the heart. Great journey. But there's gracious justice. God doesn't speak to Elijah out of the wind, the earthquake, and the fire. Verse 12, he speaks to him out of a still, small voice. What does it say to him, preacher? Look in chapter number 19, verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. When thou comest anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Jehu the son of Nimshi shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet. What? Yes, Elijah. I have got your replacement. You said you'd had enough. I want you to anoint your replacement. You can go on around here and suck your thumb and whine about your circumstance. Well, I'll tell you, they just don't treat me right over at Burlbeck. I'm just going to go down the road. Don't worry. God's got a person to sit in your seat this Sunday. Listening to me. He replaced Elijah with Elisha. You know, not many people get the gracious justice that Elijah got. Got a second chance. Elijah was greatly used after this. He got to announce to Ahab and Jezebel that the dogs were going to eat their body. Wouldn't you love to have that assignment? Wouldn't you love to have the assignment to go tell Pelosi and Schumer that the dogs are going to eat your body? Wow. Man, what an assignment. Wouldn't it be wonderful to get to do that? Huh? Call fire down out of heaven. Gave Elisha a double portion. He caught a chariot ride out of here. He appeared hundreds of years later on the Mount of Transfiguration, and the rascal ain't died yet. He's still in his bodily form. Can I make this statement in closing tonight? If you sense the least bit that you're getting down, I beg you tonight, arise, eat the word, cling to the cross, follow the Lord. That's the message, preacher. Thank you.
My soul, what a timely message. With all of what we're facing today in our country, our nation, political crisis, pandemic, seeing the real spiritual health of the American church today, it's very easy for us to have fainting hearts. It's very, very easy for us to become depressed and downhearted. But I pray that the Lord would give us a greater hunger for His Word that greatly exceeds that of feasting on the things that really breed our fears. That's what I know for my life, that this is real to me. It's very easy for me to focus on the political situations and the virus situations, all of those things, and even focus on the spiritual well-being of the church and seeing the reality of, yeah, man, our church is down. And, this is the seventh year in my ministry here, and this is not the way I wanted to see it. And it seems as if it's continuing to go on that downward spiral. It's very easy for us to focus on that And that's exactly what Satan would want us to do. He want me to do. And that's just not me. Several pastors are dealing with the same thing that I'm dealing with. And we have to constantly encourage one another. You know, stay in it. Stay strong. But where we find our strength is not looking upon and focusing on those things that trouble us. We must find our strength in His Word. And we must look at the reality that this is just temporary. All of these things that we're dealing with in this life, we seem as if we act like that these things are going to last for eternity. It's not. We are just pilgrims passing through. And may we focus upon eternity. And so that's my prayer for me, that I will continue to focus upon God's Word even more, and that is my prayer for you. Let's pray together, and then we're going to sing our way out. What song we're singing tonight? What a mighty God we serve. We need to leave here thinking about that. What a mighty God we serve. Let's pray. Our Father, Lord, it has been good for us to be here tonight. It has helped me tremendously. I pray as I'm speaking to you, Lord, that you would speak to hearts tonight. I know that you already have, but Father, I pray that those hearts who have been downhearted and discouraged, I pray, God, that you would refresh them and revive them in their spirit. I pray that we as a church would grow stronger during these times. We may not be what we were numerically speaking, but Lord, we could be much closer to you and to one another. And Father, we do pray, Lord, for those who are not here. My great fear is that those that I've gotten so used to missing church that they no longer miss it. And that is a legitimate fear of a pastor. So Lord, I pray that you speak to hearts and you bring about conviction. I pray, Lord, that as we leave here singing the song, What a Mighty God We Serve, I pray that we would sing it from our heart because it is the truth. We as Christians, we as believers, are believers in the truth that no matter how mighty our problems, you are much mightier. You are the mighty Almighty God, and we worship you and we long to serve you. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
All right, well, let's stand and be dismissed and sing and lift our voices up. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. Amen.
What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve.
One more time.
What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him.
what a mighty God.